Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. As 2014 comes to an end, we look back at some of the most popular music of the year. We also bring to your attention some music you may have missed. The Billboard Top 200 album charts suggest that music lovers this year are enjoying a trip back to 1989. The Billboard Top 200 lists the most popular albums by sales and online streaming activity. 1989 is the title of singer-songwriter Taylor Swift's latest music release. The album currently leads the sales charts for 2014. Another popular album this year is the soundtrack to the Disney film Frozen. It includes the song Let It Go, which won an Academy Award for Best Original Song. A popular country music singer returned to the top album charts this year. Garth Brooks released his 9th studio album called Man Against Machine. Mr. Brooks had announced his retirement from recording and performing in 2000, but he came out of retirement this summer and started performing around the world. Album sales and chart lists, however, are not always the best way to find out if a music album is worth buying. Sometimes the best albums are those that slip through the cracks. They go unnoticed by the general public. Here is a list of albums from 2014 that you might also enjoy. We start with an artist who has made a name for himself as an actor as well as a musician. Lenny Kravitz plays several instruments. This summer, he released a new album, Strut. Pinnock, Gales, Pridgen are the three last names of the dynamite rock musicians who make up the group. Bassist and vocalist Doug Pinnock is known for playing bass and providing vocals for another rock trio called King's X. Eric Gales has made a name for himself as a guitarist and leader of the Eric Gales Band. Thomas Pridgen has played drums with many bands, including the Mars Volta and Suicidal Tendencies. PGP2 is the title of the trio's second album released this year. Pennsylvania-based Crobot is relatively new. The four-piece rock band released their latest album, Something Supernatural, in October of this year. The first single from the album is a song called Nowhere to Hide. Justice attached to the world, yeah. After 17 years and several lineup changes, alternative metal band Nonpoint continues to tour and give energetic live performances. This year, they released their 8th studio album called The Return. Last but not least is an album by a band called Seven Dust, the 5-piece rock band formed in Atlanta in the 1990s. Their album Time Travelers and Bonfires shows a different, more powerful side to non-electric acoustic music. I feel like I'm living deep in hell. Leave you with more music from the band Seven Dust and their song called Black. That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From from VOA Learning English. This is a special edition of In the News, the top news stories of 2014. I'm Christopher Cruz. The Ebola crisis began in the West African nations of Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. The World Health Organization reported that more than 20,000 people likely have been infected. About 8,000 people have died from Ebola so far, and health officials expect many more deaths. In early March, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared from radar. The plane carried 239 people. It was flying from Beijing to Kuala Lumpur. 9 months later, the plane remains lost, despite an extensive search from the South China Sea to the Indian Ocean. In July, Malaysia Airlines suffered another tragedy. A missile hit Flight 17 as it flew over Ukraine. All 298 passengers and crew were killed in the attack and crash that followed. Pro-European activists in Ukraine made major gains this year with the ousting of the country's pro-Russian leader Viktor Yanukovych and the election of current President Petro Poroshenko. However, in late March, Russia annexed the Crimea area of eastern Ukraine. Separatist groups continue to fight Ukrainian government forces in eastern Ukraine. Russia is providing arms to the separatists. In April, more than 270 girls and women were kidnapped from a school in Nigeria. The militant Islamist group Boko Haram claimed responsibility. On December 16th, the Pakistani Taliban attacked a school in Peshawar. Over several hours, seven gunmen executed 132 children and at least nine adults. Pakistani security forces stopped the attack. All the gunmen were killed. In June, the militant group that calls itself the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL, took control of Mosul, Iraq's second-largest city. They seized large areas of northern Syria and Iraq. The areas contained several oil fields. The oil wealth has helped the group pay for its operations. In August, President Obama ordered airstrikes against the Islamic State as the militant group threatened to take over Kurdish-controlled territory. The group answered by releasing a video showing its execution of an American reporter. The Islamic State threatened more such killings. It has since executed another American reporter, Stephen Sotloff, and French aid worker Abdulrahman Kasik. IS released videos of both beheadings. In May, tensions increased between China and Vietnam when China deployed oil drilling equipment to the South China Sea. Both countries claim the waters. China and Vietnam clashed at sea as anti-Chinese protests turned deadly in Vietnam. Three Israeli teenagers were kidnapped and killed in June. Israel retaliated by attacking Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, first with missiles and then with ground forces. At least 2,000 Palestinians died. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Now, the special English program, American Stories. Today we tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. A tall tale is a story about a person who is larger than life. The descriptions in the story are exaggerated, much greater than in real life. Long ago, the people who settled in undeveloped areas in America first told tall tales. After a hard day's work, people gathered to tell each other funny stories. Pecos Bill was a larger-than-life hero of the American West. No one knows who first told stories about Pecos Bill. Cowboys may have invented the stories. Others say Edward O'Reilly invented the character in stories he wrote for The Century magazine in the early 1900s. The stories were collected in a book called The Saga of Pecos Bill, published in 1923. Another writer, James Cloyd Bowman, wrote an award-winning children's book called Pecos Bill, The Greatest Cowboy of All Time. The book won the Newbery Honor in 1938. Pecos Bill was not a historical person, but he does represent the spirit of early settlers in the American West. His unusual childhood and extraordinary actions tell about people who believed there were no limits to what they could do. Now, here is Barbara Klein with our story.
Pecos Bill had one of the strangest childhoods a boy ever had. It all started after his father decided that there was no longer enough room in East Texas for his family.
"Pack up, Ma," he cried. "Neighbors moving in 50 miles away. It's getting too crowded."
So they loaded up a wagon with all their things. Now some say they had 15 children, while others say 18. However many there were, the children were louder than thunder. And as they set off across the wild country of West Texas, their mother and father could hardly hear a thing. Now, as they came to the Pecos River, the wagon hit a big rock. The force threw little Bill out of the wagon, and he landed on the sandy ground. Mother did not know Bill was gone until she gathered the children for the midday meal. Mother set off with some of the children to look for Bill, but they could find no sign of him. Well, some people say Bill was just a baby when his family lost him. Others say he was 4 years old. But all agree that a group of animals called coyotes found Bill and raised him. Bill did all the things those animals did, like chase lizards and howl at the moon. He became as good a coyote as any. Now, Bill spent 17 years living like a coyote until one day a cowboy rode by on his horse. Some say the cowboy was one of Bill's brothers. Whoever he was, he took one look at Bill and asked, "What are you?" Bill was not used to human language. At first, he could not say anything. The cowboy repeated his question. This time, Bill said, "Varmint." That is a word used for any kind of wild animal.
"No, you aren't," said the cowboy.
"Yes, I am," said Bill. "I have fleas."
"Lots of people have fleas," said the cowboy. "You don't have a tail."
"Yes, I do," said Bill.
"Show it to me then," the cowboy said.
Bill looked at his backside and realized that he did not have a tail like the other coyotes.
"Well, what am I then?" asked Bill.
"You're a cowboy, so start acting like one," the cowboy cried out.
Well, that was all Bill needed to hear. He said goodbye to his coyote friends and left to join the world of humans. Now, Pecos Bill was a good cowboy. Still, he hungered for adventure. One day, he heard about a rough group of men. There is some debate over what the group was called, but one storyteller calls it the Hell's Gate Gang. So Bill set out across the rough country to find this gang of men. Well, Bill's horse soon was injured, so Bill had to carry it for 100 miles. Then Bill met a rattlesnake 50 feet long. The snake made a hissing noise and was not about to let Bill pass. But after a tense minute, Bill beat the snake until it surrendered. He felt sorry for the varmint, though, and wrapped it around his arm. After Bill walked another 100 miles, he came across an angry mountain lion. There was a huge battle, but Bill took control of the big cat and put his saddle on it. He rode that mountain lion all the way to the camp of the Hell's Gate Gang. Now, when Bill saw the gang, he shouted out,
"Who's the boss around here?"
A huge cowboy, 9 feet tall, took one look at Bill and said in a shaky voice,
"I was the boss, but you are the boss from here on in."
With his gang, Pecos Bill was able to create the biggest ranch in the Southwest. Bill and his men had so many cattle that they needed all of New Mexico to hold them. Arizona was the pasture where the cattle ate grass. Pecos Bill invented the art of being a cowboy. He invented the skill of throwing a special rope called a lasso over a cow's head to catch wandering cattle. Some say he used a rattlesnake for a lasso. Others say he made a lasso so big that it circled the whole earth. Bill invented the method of using a hot branding iron to permanently put the mark of a ranch on a cow's skin. That helped stop people from stealing cattle. Some say he invented cowboy songs to help calm the cattle and make the cowboy's life easier. But he is also said to have invented tarantulas and scorpions as jokes. Cowboys have had trouble with those poisonous creatures ever since. Now, Pecos Bill could ride anything that ever was. So, as some tell the story, there came a storm bigger than any other. It all happened during the worst drought the West had ever seen. It was so dry that horses and cows started to dry up and blow away in the wind. So when Bill saw the windstorm, he got an idea. The huge tornado kicked across the land like a wild bronco. But Bill jumped on it without a thought. He rode that tornado across Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, all the time squeezing the rain out of it to save the land from drought. When the storm was over, Bill fell off the tornado. He landed in California. He left a hole so deep that to this day it is known as Death Valley. Now, Bill had a horse named Widowmaker. He got that name because any man who rode that horse would be thrown off and killed, and his wife would become a widow. No one could ride that horse but Bill. And Widowmaker, in the end, caused the biggest problem for Pecos Bill. You see, one day, Bill saw a woman. Not just any woman, but a wild, red-haired woman riding a giant catfish down the Rio Grande River. Her name was Slewfoot Sue, and Bill fell in love with her at first sight. Well, Bill would not rest until he had asked for her hand in marriage, and Slewfoot Sue accepted. On their wedding day, Pecos Bill dressed in his best buckskin suit, and Sue wore a beautiful white dress with a huge steel spring bustle in the back. It was the kind of big dress that many women wore in those days, the bigger the better. Now, after the marriage ceremony, Slewfoot Sue got a really bad idea. She decided that she wanted to ride Widowmaker. Bill begged her not to try, but she had her mind made up. Well, the second she jumped on the horse's back, he began to kick and buck like nothing anyone had ever seen. He sent Sue flying so high, clear over the new moon. She fell back to earth, but the steel spring bustle just bounced her back up as high as before. Now, there are many different stories about what happened next. One story says Bill saw that Sue was in trouble. She would keep bouncing forever if nothing was done. So he took his rope out, though some say it was a huge rattlesnake, and lassoed Sue to catch her and bring her down to earth. Only she just bounced him back up with her. Somehow the two came to rest on the moon, and that's where they stayed. Some people say they raised a family up there. Their children were as loud and wild as Bill and Sue were in their younger days. People say the sound of thunder that sometimes carries over the dry land around the Pecos River is nothing more than Pecos Bill's family laughing up a storm.
Pecos Bill was quite a cowboy down in Texas.
This tall tale of Pecos Bill was adapted for Special English and produced by Mario Ritter. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein. I'm Steve Ember.
Yippee-i-o, for the toughest critter west of the Alamo.
Once there was a drought that spread all over Texas. So the sunny California needed gold.